Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have got Samantha Barnett. Now, Samantha is a head nutritionist and educator of nutrition with Sammy, and she's also a mum to two young boys and a dual business owner. Her personal journey marked the onset of anxiety and panic disorder from a very young age, and it fueled her mission to understand her own body and the connection between nutrition, mental health, and overall well-being. Sammy's holistic approach to health goes beyond nutrition, delving into the intricate web of mind and body that shape our well-being. So with over 20 years of life and clinical experience and a background in entertainment, I'm going to go and delve into that a little bit more. She has a unique talent for establishing connections with her audience by openly sharing her personal childhood struggles around anxieties and friendships. She keeps children and adults engaged by demonstrating how their daily health choices can directly impact the aspects or all aspects of their life and truly matter to them. So this is going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm so looking forward. I met Sammy at a networking event. And I went, she's got to be on the podcast. So welcome, Sammy.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
The entertainment and the nutrition part, tell me how that goes together.
Well, I actually, one of my first jobs ever was, I was actually a clown. And I entertained kids, funnily enough, and that sort of stemmed into acting. I was in a few films and I absolutely loved it. And I also, I used to host dating like sort of groups for adults as well. So it wasn't just the kids. And for some reason, I just ended up on stage doing what I'm doing now, funnily enough, because I kind of pushed myself there to face my own anxiety demons, which we can talk about later. But it sort of did a full circle after I did my nutrition. I had my clinic, lots of people coming into my clinic. And I said to my hubby one day, I had sort of like an epiphany where I just thought, I don't want to just sit in my clinic. I'm more than that. I want to entertain. I love talking about the body and I can do it in a really fun way and combine like those skills. And so this is where I've ended up now. It's funny where you end up in life.
It is funny, but isn't it wonderful to wake up every single day and go, I'm combining all my loves and I just doing what I meant to be here on this purpose on earth, this plane at this time.
It is. So. And I think I've met so many people who are very afraid to do that because they've invested so much time in studies and doing something and they want to be sort of fit into the normal box of what that profession is. So I don't know anyone else who's doing what I'm doing as a clinically trained nutritionist. So it was very scary to just say, I'm just going to try it and see if it works and kind of push all of my studies sort of not away, but I'm sort of focusing on a different area now. So, yeah.
And being able to tell your story with it, because you know, as I'm really aware, that's the part that I think resonates with people. If you can combine the story with your purpose in life and what you're doing, then people really will remember that and connect with that, as opposed to, you know, you must do this type of aspect.
Absolutely. I actually had a beautiful moment. I had back-to-back workshops in the school holidays. And there's probably about 5-10 minutes where I talk about my struggles with school. I was having like 10 to 20 panic attacks a day. I had panic disorder. I didn't like myself. I was very shy at school and very reserved. I wasn't at school for like 6 months in grade 6 because I was so scared to go to school. My mom just couldn't get me there. And when I run these workshops and I share my experience, it's so interesting to see how quiet all of these kids go. Like, these kids are just really loud and having fun, but it's just like I've caught their attention. And at the end of the workshop, I have maybe three or four of the kids out of a group of 50 come up to me and say, I have panic disorder. And I'm so glad that this is normal and that there's a future for me and that I can be aware of how my body works and be empowered to make different choices around what I'm eating. And that actually impacts on, you know, how their body works and functions. It's just so rewarding.
Oh my gosh. That is incredibly powerful. Mm. And for to have that impact on a 10 or 11 year old.
Yeah.
Not yes. necessarily, it's great to have an impact on a 40 or 50 year old, but to have it on a 10 or 11 year old.
On kids.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
That's going to make a difference to the rest of their life then, as to how they could possibly see that, or just being that awareness of it. I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? I can't imagine. I cannot
absolutely
imagine what you went through. I really.
I was very alone, and I actually had. Because it was a long, like I'm 40 next year and I was only 11 when I first started getting them. And back then people didn't talk about anxiety. Like, kids didn't know what that was back then. And I thought I was dying. I literally thought I was dying. And my mum didn't know what to do. My parents were going through a separation. And so she was sort of anxious about the whole thing herself. And every time a panic attack would come on, like, as I said, they were happening every hour or so. I just honestly thought I was going crazy, and they did CAT scans. They sent me from doctor to doctor until I found my mum came across this book called It, Living With It, not the Stephen King book, Living With It. And I can't remember the name of the author, but Bev Despot or something like that. You'd have to look it up. Mm-hmm. And it was aimed at anxiety and panic disorder for children. And it was very cartoon-like. And there were sections in it that I could get parents or teachers or friends to read to understand what I was actually going through. So I didn't feel alone anymore. And I've actually met people my age now through networking events who actually had a similar story with panic disorder at a young age. So I'm hearing it more and more often these days, young kids getting it. And it's really scary when you don't know what's happening in your body. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had a panic attack before, it's very scary.
I mean, it's pretty hard to compare then, but do you think that there was something that may have triggered it? You mentioned your parents were separating or that started. Yeah.
Definitely. And that's sort of been the my lifelong journey, is to discover my body and understand why it is being weird and doing these unusual things. Mm-hmm. And for me, it sort of started with learning that things like caffeine and watching scary movies, sort of these were triggering me. Eating a lot of sugar, I found, was a trigger. And I was slowly starting to understand the triggers more so. But I actually became obsessed with eating really, really healthy, very nutritiously, because I realized what I was eating was having a big impact on my mental health. And it wasn't until I had children, I realized I couldn't control everything that I was eating. And I had realized I actually developed orthorexia, which is a fear of unhealthy foods. And I actually see a lot, I've seen a lot of women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s coming into my clinic who have orthorexia. They've got this constant counting calorie fear of carbohydrates or anything. And yeah, I developed a really unhealthy relationship with food. So that provided me with anxiety. I ended up having panic and anxiety about the foods I was eating. Like, if it wasn't organic or if I didn't have a healthy option, that panic would be there. So it extended on to the next level of learning, was to get to know my body and realize it's not just about the food I'm eating, but loving and being kind to myself in all ways. And that started my journey of self-love, so to speak.
That's important. Yeah. And you're saying, you know, that that's sort of been the journey of figuring out the triggers, which is important. And we're talking nutrition today, which is obviously, you know, a component. But you also mentioned scary movies. And so there would be, I mean, there's other things that trigger us. I have to tell you a story. I think I was about 11 or 12, and my mum had gone out in the evening, and my dad had fallen asleep on the lounge, and he I'd got up and he'd been watching a scary movie and I started watching it and I just couldn't turn, I could not turn it off. I couldn't. I was in so much fear. I rang my grandmother and I said, Nana, I can't, I'm here by myself. I really wasn't, but, and she taught me how to turn it off. And I don't want scary movies. I just don't.
Oh, see, I enjoy scary movies now. I like the sensation and feeling, but I mean, I like all like the Jaws and I know it sounds weird, but I've learned to deal with that sort of sensation and feeling in my body. But
yeah,
man, when I was a kid, I was the same. My grandma used to show me, like, we'd watch Jaws when I was like maybe 8 or 9 years old, and then she'd take us to the beach the next day. I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I do like suspense, but I'm never going to watch it, you know.
Yeah,
type of movie.
No, my hubby said to me, "You're never ever watching what's that Freddy Krueger one?
Chucky?
the Freddy Krueger where he gets you in. Is it Nightmare on Elm Street?
He's like, I've heard the names of them, but I haven't.
Yeah, I accidentally watched a scary movie once. I was sitting up watching a midday movie, and I thought it was just a bunch of like women over in Ireland or something doing some cave diving. I thought, oh, this is cool. And then they went really down deep and there were like these golem-like creatures down there. I'm like, this just got really scary. I think it's called The Descent or something. And then I was like, I can't turn it off. I need to see them get out of the cave now.
The thing is, you can't turn it off because you've got to see that. And that's that's the thing with movies, isn't it? It's that trigger.
I know. Scary. Yeah.
Interesting your comments about, how did you say it? When people are really conscious about what they're eating?
Oh, with orthorexia. It's a phobia, and it's actually becoming more and more common. I see particularly younger women as well. Actually, it's mainly women. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that because there's men too that I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. But they're obsessed with lean eating, and I get a lot of people judge me as a nutritionist because I allow myself and my children to just be really free with food. Mm-hmm. And when you eat things, you say to yourself, well, what purpose? Is it to have fun and enjoy it? Or is it because I've set these strict bound, like punishing myself and I'm being really strict and this is not okay? Like having those conversations.
Look, I taught aerobics for 20 years and, you know, part of that was nutrition and fitness and health, obviously, and have exercised really my entire adulthood, just and mostly a daily thing. And I have gone, you know, from a couple of sizes up and down and up and down and up and down, as you do. You know, I used to have a joke that if I walked past a bakery, I'd add a couple of kilos. Yeah.
I've heard that one before.
I'm 65 now, well, it will be in a couple of weeks' time, and what I have learned is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Am I having this glass of wine because I need a glass of wine at the end of the day? No, that's not how I drink alcohol. Am I having this glass of wine because I'm socializing with friends and it's a really nice thing to do? Yes, I am. And I do.
Exactly.
I do the same thing if I'm spending money. Am I prepared to swap, you know, 3 hours work for that dress or whatever?
Yeah.
You know? So it's that nothing is good or bad, is it, Sam?
No. And I think that's the problem. We put these tags on foods and it's just either nutritious or it's not. I don't like the term healthy. I don't think food can be healthy. I think people can be healthy, but I think food can be nutritious or not. And I've actually learned that from a Dr. Libby. I absolutely loved following her years ago when I first started studying and the way that she did things, which was quite inspiring. And she never really followed the trends and fads of what nutrition can be. And if the funny thing is that you can study and study and study and learn and learn, and nearly everything that you put in your body, you can look at a positive or a negative towards it. Yeah. And I think it's just being aware and understanding what your body needs. And
that's a really
challenge
good point.
Itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the things if I put in my body that will feel bloated, or that will feel a bit uncomfortable, or definitely don't have that late at night, or even after a meal time at night. That just doesn't work for me. So it's, yeah, and sometimes I still will have that, you know, that
Yeah, you get
have
the
a dessert when
choice.
we're out somewhere, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I'm dessert. And I
Exactly.
get home and go, oh, that was not a good idea. And it's not because of the calories, it's because it's
Yeah,
sitting well.
exactly. And that's the same. Like if I go out for dinner with a group of friends, I say, oh, I don't, or even more so lunch, I'll say, oh, I don't really want to, have dessert. And they'll be like, oh, you can afford to because I'm thin. And I'm like, no. If I eat dessert, my blood sugar levels are going to be out and I'm going to get really tired. And I actually have a lot of work to do this afternoon, which is a priority for me at the moment because it's my passion. And I want them to understand that I'm not looking at the dessert and going, oh, I don't want to eat that because it'll make me fat. It'll make me this, like knowing the reasons behind the choices. And just eating one dessert isn't, it's not what you do. Sometimes it's what you do all the time that matters.
I had the conversation with one of the grandchildren on the weekend, and it was the sometimes food and the every time food. And I remember a funny story one of my staff told me. Her son, you know, they were out in the shopping center, and he's pointed at this person and said, "Mummy, that lady has too much sometimes food."
Yeah, it's
That
all
was,
the time
it
food.
was done quite loudly.
And you know what? I used to use that terminology with in moderation, and every single person who came into my clinic, their idea of moderation was different. So I think everybody's different, and I think some people genuinely, and this is something that I've learned, like a lot of adults that have undiagnosed sort of autism or whatever you might think it. Whatever you want to label it, they actually can't control their eating patterns and they don't, it's like a sensory overload for some people. And this is something that I've learned recently that some people who have undiagnosed sort of sensory things, they can just keep eating and not know. They I don't know how to word this, they can't connect with their body as well as somebody else. So they don't understand the fullness cues, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's no sort of cut off the going, okay, I'm feeling
Yeah.
full now, I've had enough.
Exactly. And so in those cases that I've worked with, it's been like, okay, well, maybe you need to eat timed. I mean, I'm all for eating intuitively, learning those sensations, but if you can't connect with your body and know when it's hungry, then maybe you need to do timed eating every couple of hours or so, depending on when your body needs to eat. But some people forget to eat and they'll go all day without eating and then they'll get home and they'll wonder why they're ravenous and just that's when you make poor choices.
Yeah, that I'd be hangry quite early on if I wasn't eating.
Super hangry.
I tend
Absolutely.
to eat every couple of hours, and
Yeah, and that's how my body is too, but I've got friends that can have maybe two meals a day, big meals. But for me, my digestive system, I've got a very short digestive system. Everything works really quick for me. So when I'm eating, I have lots of small meals throughout the day to keep me going.
yeah,
Yeah,
I've found
so.
that works better for me. And if I'm managing weight as well, then that works well.
Works
So,
well, yeah.
yeah. So it is. It's very much because I've, you know, I've, yeah. You've done a whole lot of things over the years. You know, making metabolic balance and
All
just
the
all
things.
the things. And
Yeah.
it's really interesting, you know, going, I don't like being ha hungry. And
No,
that three
I
meals a
love it.
day, I get hungry, and
Yeah, and
then
I
I make poor
actually,
choices.
exactly. And I actually have had, because I actually used to run a weight loss done differently program in my clinic. And a lot of the women would be like, I'm eating more food than I normally eat, and they'd get really scared. And I'd be like, you're nourishing your body. You're nourishing your body so that it gets the nutrients it needs in order to feel safe, so that it will want to lose excess body fat, because that's what body fat is. Like a lot of people think it's their body, being mean to them. And it's like, no, your body holds on to body fat when it's not feeling safe to lose it. So body fat is actually excess toxins that are floating around your body, whether it's actual toxins that you're absorbing or recirculating hormones. So I find women that drink wine, they tend to hold on to a lot of estrogen in their body, particularly in their legs and stuff. Women who are very high stressed and go, 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 their cortisol's through the roof. So it sort of sits in their front area and they carry that. And when I say that to them, I say it's not just about overeating and storing excess food, like excess energy. It's about storing toxins so you don't die. Your body is protecting you. And why is it doing that? What's the underlying reason? And so you dig. And often the core is an emotional thing. And for women, holding that emotional thing is this big layer of people pleasing that they've developed to protect themselves. And it's just so many layers. Oh, my dog's getting excited.
And that's a really important factor. And I was talking to someone the other day and she said, oh, I know it's all emotional eating for me at night. You know, and she's aware of it, but it still happens that she chooses really poor choices at night.
Yeah, exactly. And I used to do it, we do it over 6 weeks. And the first week would just be really getting to know their digestion and how things work and just simply learning how to chew food. Because a lot of digestive issues is because people don't chew their food and sit down. We're constantly in a rush. And then we look at stress and insulin and how that impacts on the body, which is a big thing that I talk about in the corporate workshops that I run because everybody's just go, go, go. Mm. And then looking at liver and sex hormones, your gut health is really important. So some bacteria actually promote body fat, like holding on to body fat. And then, of course, their beautiful thyroid. That's a big factor for women. And then at the end, looking at emotions and your past dieting sort of patterns and whether you have support, because I have a lot of women that would come to me and they'd be all, yeah, let's do this. I'm ready. And they'd go home to a toxic environment where nobody supported them. Mm. And they felt the people pleaser kick in and they would say, no, I can't do it because no one wants to, you know, do what I'm doing. And they think it's stupid. So. And that's interesting.
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, I come from the space of I'm doing things for me, but that's not where everyone sits. So
no, a lot of people aren't there yet. Yeah. A lot of people have been conditioned to do stuff for everyone else. I think it's a female thing that's been sort of embedded down the generational lines of, you know, you're there to serve the man and serve the family and be in the kitchen. And it's a hard thing to break. Mm, and women are doing not just that, but they're also climbing the corporate ladder at the same time.
And that's where that whole lot of stress comes in. As you said, cortisol levels increase. And the insulin spike, we often hear about that. So, you know,
can be from cortisol as well. That's stress. Yeah. So, one of the biggest stresses on the body is poor blood sugar regulation, and it can come down from having those cortisol spikes, but it can also come down from eating too much, eating too little, anything that's going to cause your brain and your body to go, whoa, something's not right, and then you're going to get this sort of adrenaline or cortisol spike. Yeah.
And then does that then lead you to go, oh, a sugar craving or?
Yeah, definitely. So insulin will inject into your body and it'll suck up all of the sugars in your blood and store it either in your muscles or your liver. The more sugar you have going down and the less muscle you have, are you listening, ladies? Build that muscle because that is where your sugars store. It's going to actually store in your fat cells. And that can be why some women who don't eat much at all tend to put weight on and can't lose it because they're actually storing all of that that stress that's there, basically. Yeah.
And that's that. I mean, I hear that all the time, you know, that, oh, I hardly eat anything and I can't lose weight.
Yeah.
And I imagine you would hear that.
But you're basically telling your body that there's a famine and your body's like, okay, we need to hold on to the energy as best as we can. And the more you tell your body that there's a food shortage, it's going to hold on to it even more. So that's why it's really important to start nourishing yourself with actual foods rather than starving yourself. Women, I don't believe women are designed to do fasting. And most of the research in intermittent fasting is actually on men. So
that's interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know people have had, I've seen, you know, great results from intermittent fasting.
Yeah, definitely. But it's a case by case thing. So if your hormones are all out of whack and you're fasting, you could actually be making it worse. So really listening to your body in case by case.
Yeah. And the importance of getting the nutritional balance right as well. You know, there's, you know, so much stuff out there about not eating or complex carbs anyway.
Yeah.
Not eating simple carbs, eating complex carbs instead, but not, you know, having a more protein based diet. And
yeah, I think the older we get as women, the more protein we actually need. For me, being for the mental health side, which is at the core of what I teach, protein's like a big, big factor, because protein actually breaks down to amino acids. Mm. And those amino acids are what create all those beautiful neurotransmitter, those chemical messages in your body. So things that promote motivation and all your happiness, mood and all that. And a lot of it's actually made in our gut. People think a lot of it's made up here, but it's a lot of it's down here. And if you're not getting enough protein in and your body's not breaking it down properly because of stress, you're not going to get that wonderful feeling and sensation in your body. So protein is fantastic for women.
Yes, I read an article recently. I was with somebody who doesn't eat very much protein at all and is my age, very, very small amounts of it. And I was concerned. So I, you know, just popped in some research that I checked out without trying to influence them, but just trying to influence them subtly. And I read that we can, after childhood, we can do without carbs for the rest of our life. And without fat, we can do without fat for 6 months, but we can do without protein for 70 days.
Yeah, protein's sort of the blocks of everything going in your body. But that being said, with carbohydrates, a lot of women don't realize we need quality carbohydrates to create things like hormones and to get your thyroid working well. And I see so many women doing keto diets, and I also see a lot of women without their gallbladders now. And I haven't done a lot of research into that, but I wonder whether the two sort of go together, because your gallbladder is responsible for making bile that helps to break down the fats in your body that you're eating, like the fats you're digesting. So
that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I think extreme dieting, I'm not a fan of.
No, no. This was just what the body would survive with. This it was just what the body
it's
would survive.
Interesting. Yeah. The body's capable of so many things. I actually did a test on myself not long ago. I don't know if you've heard of pH 360. It's really cool. It goes into six different body types that there are.
Okay.
And it goes down to every little thing about it. And myself, I'm an activator, which means I can live on like a carnivore style diet, and that the vegan sort of diet would actually make me quite sick. Whereas a good friend of mine did it, and she's the complete opposite of me. So she's carries a little bit more body fat. She can have a couple of meals a day and be fine. She's got a very long digestive system. So if she did exactly the same diet as me, it wouldn't be good. It's like one person's poison, one person's diet kind of thing. Yeah.
That's really interesting. Is that something
everybody's
that people
different.
Can just check out themselves? pH 360.
Yeah, pH 360. It's actually quite interesting. Like, I've done a lot of stuff in my time as a nutritionist, but that one sort of, you know, when like someone comes to you and they sort of know who you are before they know who you are just by looking at you. And yeah, it goes into a lot of like genius profiles and the best way to socialize, the best way. It's really cool. Yeah,
interesting. I do a lot of profiling within my coaching, and that
this one's a good one to look into.
Yeah, most definitely. And obviously they cover nutrition as well. That's a good component of that. I know what I'll be doing after we finish speaking.
Yes, definitely, definitely. It's worth looking, because then you stop comparing yourself to your friend because you realize they're like completely opposite to who you are and what you need as a person. So,
well, as I say, with this friend, you know, if we go hiking, she's I'm fast, but she's a mile ahead of everyone else, and she can just keep going forever.
And I'm
going, you got to eat some protein.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
some people don't need that much. Yeah. Well, my friend doesn't need that much protein. She does better with a carbohydrate, like sort of lots of greens, lots of veggies. So, yeah, you've really got to listen to your body. Get to know it. Get to know your own body. Don't follow influencers and all that random stuff out there. You get lost in the conundrum of it all.
Yeah, matrix. Yeah. And as we're seeing so much more mental health issues at the moment, you know, and there's a whole lot of causes and beliefs for that over the last few years as to what might be bringing that on. We're probably on the same page with that. Well, I was listening to Mental Health First Aid the other day, and they were talking, you know, which is awful, awful figures. There's over 3,000 suicides, 9 a day in Australia. Last year.
Was it a lot of it are men still or boys?
It's still mostly men. The highest percentage is men. But it's, you know, to be able to assist if diet is one of the tools that someone can have to help them, you know, feeling like they can overcome the issues in their life, then that's a real bonus, whether it's men or women, or, you know, it's so important that we have as many tools as possible.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I think a lot of people, they kind of have an idea of how to look after themselves nutrition-wise. I mean, they know that going and making a nourishing salad with chicken is better than going through the KFC drive-thru, but I often say to people, why do you do what you do when you know what you know? And a lot of it's stress. It drives us to these really not so great habits, convenience. We're in a society where it's so fast paced and we want convenience. And a lot of people don't prioritize what they eat. They prioritize climbing the corporate ladder or being the best mum, being, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. So there's only so much I can do as a nutritionist to tell people what to eat. And I think that's why I've sort of changed my direction on how to educate. Mm. I really get people to understand what's going on in their body, because when you know, you become more empowered and you don't make choices out of guilt and punishment. You make them because you actually love yourself and you want to do it.
That's a really good point. It's not, it's a have to because of the concern for your body, not a have to because there's an outside influence.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen some people who I straight away said, you're not going to do anything I tell you to do. And they just crack up laughing because they know they're not. And that's when I say, well, I just want you to breathe. That's it. I want you to stop and take a breath and be aware of the lifestyle that you are living, because it is killing you. And that's when they go. And I say, what is your why? Why do you do what you do every day? And they have to stop and think, because they never get a chance to do that. And sometimes they get a bit teary and they cry because they realize they're stuck in this constant loop and following what society has told them is right and real, and it's not.
No, they're all so many good points in there, that taking a breath, which I'll come back to in a minute, that loop of not, we started on that loop of not being able to be, to do what you do. You know, there's so much expectation for students now to, you will go to university or you're a failure. Well, look, absolute load of rubbish. I was general manager of a multi-million-dollar company, and I finished school when I was 15. And learning since then has been what put me to be able to, you know, successfully run that business. So it's,
I love that.
It's not, my 40-year-old son runs a multi-million-dollar construction business with 70 employees, And he finished school when he was 16 in grade 11 and did his trades instead. You know, it's you've got to be doing, you know, to force a belief or an idea because of the society's projection upon yourself. Yeah. Is one of the most deadliest things I think you can do, as you're saying.
Absolutely. And the most successful people, and I don't just mean money-wise, I mean like just being generally happy and content, are the people that actually have challenged these sort of models that have been created for us. My youngest son challenges everything. And as much as it drives me nuts, I think, geez, you're going to do well, mate. You're challenging. Why is this? The teachers are wrong. This. I'm like, he's right. And I just think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And it's true. I see so many, because I've got a few girls that work with me when I do my workshops, and they're sort of just finishing up high school and they're very nervous about, I have no idea what I want to do. Like, I'm just going to pick this because, you know, maybe I might like it. And I said to them, when I left school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was battling my own demons. Like, I was just trying to keep my head above water. And so I was a clown, which was great, but it's not something that I, you know, wanted to be, although I kind of enjoyed it. It wasn't until I had life experience and gone through this hardship of struggling to make ends meet and finding who I was as a person, which is a never-ending journey, right? It kind of gave me an idea of, maybe I could teach nutrition. Like, maybe this is my path. I don't think when you're at school that you can make a sure decision of where you're going, unless it's something that's been in you since you were born, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Usually, you know, when I'm talking to people making those decisions, going, do you like people?
No, yeah.
I don't like talking to people. Well, there's certain roles that won't work with you. Are you the type of person that just wants everyone to be healthy and well, you know, that you're really helpful with people? Yeah, I do that. Okay, well, maybe choosing something along that path might be a better way to go than having to deal with people, which means you wouldn't want to be a therapist because you're dealing with people daily, but it might be something else. You know, that it's that general, who are you? And, you know, for those that have listened to me before know that, I believe in, we have soul stories, we're here for a purpose. We, you know, and I know my purpose is a teacher, and I plan to be a school teacher when I was at school. And I got a job when I was 15. I got $27 a week. And I went, no, there's no way I'm going back to school.
Yeah.
And but I've been an aerobic instructor. I've been a coach. I've trained. Yeah, just, you know, so everything. All the way through my career, there's been teaching.
I love that.
I deliver a message. So
I heard an interesting, I can't remember what book it was in, and they said some people are woodpeckers where they'll just keep pecking at the same spot until they achieve what they've been set out to do. That's my husband. He is a woodpecker.
Uh-huh.
He's got horse blinders on, and that's his vineyard. But some people are hummingbirds where they flip around to all the trees, tasting the nectar from everything. I'm a hummingbird. I've had so many different jobs. And even now as a nutritionist, even though I'm still in the industry, I'm trying a little bit of everything and sort of kind of, this is what I like now, but this isn't what I'm going to do forever. Like, eventually I might end up somewhere else. Who knows?
I love that analogy, that woodpecker or the
I think it's a
great one for people listening, just to visualize that.
Yeah.
That might look like for them. Because
exactly.
You know, one of the roles in the GM role in the sales for that company, I was in that for 20 years. So it was still a long term, but I started as a rep and then
worked away.
And stepped into management, and then, you know, went into a 5-day fortnight for the last few years where I wanted to slowly get out of it, but also start my business on the side. And, you know, I've always been one that, what do I want to do next and what do I need to prepare for it? So that's
my
model, but that's because I'm a very A-type personality.
I'm a little bit like that too. My goal has been sort of to challenge myself, because every time I challenge myself and put myself in the uncomfortable, come out of the little cave, I level up. So that's what I said to my kids. I level up and gaming, level up, level up. And and this is what I've done. And it was so scary for me the first time I went up on a stage with a couple hundred people talking. And I didn't sleep for like 3 days before. But once I did it, it's like my brain was like, wow, that's really cool. You enjoyed it. You did it. That was great. And I guess it's the same with my health. Like I've been through so much with my health. Like my liver was failing at one point. And I think you can push yourself too hard. So you start to really know when to pull back, when to go forward. So learning everything that you do in life is a lesson. Mm-hmm. And whether you want to challenge yourself really or just slowly introduce things in, I guess it depends on your personality type too.
Mm. Yeah, and that does make a big difference as to how you tackle things.
And exactly.
The thing is, and from, you know, what we're talking about today is learn about yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned breath. I mean, yes. We all breathe, don't we?
Yeah, some of us breathe very shallow. We are born. So when you see babies that are born and you watch them breathe, their whole chest and their tummy goes up and down. And we are born that way. We're born to breathe properly. But as life goes on, we get more stressed. When your body's in a state of flight and fight, ready to run away, whether you're just sitting in your desk and you got a really confrontational email, or whether there's actually a tiger chasing you, your body does the same sort of nervous system response. And what that is shallow breathing to quickly get oxygen in really fast to oxygenate your arms and your legs and your muscles to get you out of there. And so when you're constantly living in this never-ending to-do list, never-ending, got to keep up, there's no time to stop, retrain your body to breathe this way and you're not actually oxygenating your body properly. There's actually a podcast I listen to and it talks about how just breathing from your tummy and oxygenating your blood, because that's really important, can completely change your whole health. And so I get a lot of people to slow down and breathe because you can't digest food if your body thinks it's being chased by a tiger. Mm. And when you have a big, big, deep breath, you're telling your body that there is in fact no tiger chasing you, because if you were taking that big breath, the tiger would have eaten you by now. And then your body will feel safe enough to bring all that blood and oxygen into your digestive system and break down that food again. So you can break the protein down into the things that create neurotransmitters in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serotonin, all those things.
And yeah, the so many systems rely on that.
Oxygen,
don't they?
Yeah, and it's not just breathing like normally.
Mm.
You can actually use the breath. And this is something I did on the weekend where you change the way that you breathe. And it's quite scary at first, but once you get past that, you can actually delve into sort of more of unconscious sort of state, which does some really deep healing where you can cleanse your body from emotional trauma and all sorts. And I've had done stuff like that in the past where it's been really traumatic, but I've come out the other end thinking, holy moly, like that was the best breathwork experience of my life. And it changed the whole trajectory of my life just through this one breath work event that I went to.
Wow. It shows how important is that. I know a friend of mine, she is a yoga teacher and keeps talking about yoga nidra as well as part of that breath. Yeah.
So is that the alternate nostril one? Or is
it's the breathing into every component of the body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's so many different styles of breathing.
I think it's just taking the time, and it's a good reminder. Mm. Thank you for me to do that.
Breathe.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of breath practice and haven't done any for a while. And
I think it's one of the best things that we could do. Like, and I often say in a 1.5 hour workshop, if you want to take at least one thing home today, it's to schedule in time to breathe. But I do find, like, I've got a friend who is quite anxious, and she said to me, I actually get more anxious when I'm concentrating on my breath. And I'm like, that's, you can work through that, but there are some people that can't do like the meditative breathing. So those people, I recommend doing something that, you know, when you just lose time, like if you're doing a jigsaw puzzle or something, something where you can just be 100% present in the now. And that sometimes it's things like doing a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
Interesting you say that. I do a jigsaw puzzle every Christmas.
Me too. And then you know what? My kids hide the last piece and I get so mad. And then I'm like, I finished it. I'm like, no.
That's right. Absolutely wrong. Anything that you can recommend as a food or nutrients that will actually help bring in that calm?
Yeah, so magnesium is my big go-to. Magnesium biglycinate. So there's so many different forms, making sure you're getting the right one because you might end up with diarrhea if you take the wrong one. But that is definitely something that can 100% really calm you if you're taking that before bed. Chamomile tea is always a really good thing that I have. I find that helps me. I mean, I'm not a herbalist, but I have worked with some herbies who have given me fantastic stuff to help with sleep and calm. A big thing I get people to look at is their zinc levels. That's a lot of people are really zinc deficient, and you need good zinc levels for good stomach acid as well. And if your stomach acid isn't good, you're not breaking down protein properly, which is making what those neurotransmitters are. So
yeah,
zinc and magnesium and your B vitamins, making sure you're getting quality B vitamins in, like the B12 and the B6s particularly. Yeah.
And they need to be good quality. This is the thing.
Yes, absolutely. Don't just go to the supermarket and get yourself a B vitamin, because if you have a genetic variation in your body, it can actually make you worse, which is what happened to me. I have to get methylated forms of the B vitamins. Otherwise, I get more anxious, and then all of a sudden I'm crying in the shower and I have no idea why. And it's supplements.
That's not what we want to happen. I remember I haven't been taking zinc, but during the flu period that we had over the last 4 years, I took vitamin C and zinc throughout the whole
immune support.
I'm very fortunate I don't get sick, so
that's really good. One of the ones that I will recommend, because a lot of women I see, particularly menstruating women, is iron. Get your iron levels checked. Make sure your ferritin levels are sitting at least 50, because I see some women who, and young girls who've just hit puberty, they're sitting at like 6. And I think, and iron is really, really important for thyroid health, and it also plays a role in mental health. So if your iron's really low, it could trigger depression, anxiety, and all those things as well. So
and really, I mean, if we can, the best way to get it is through food, isn't it?
Absolutely. And if you're not getting it through food, what's blocking the iron absorption? Or are you really heavy periods? What's causing the heavy periods? Is it your liver? You know, like, are you eating properly, or are you eating lots of toxic things, or what are you spraying on your body? Are you smelling toxic candles? Like, it's just a constant sort of, you know, what else?
Yeah.
And I do find a lot of mums that come to me with their teenage daughters, they end up putting them on the pill because they're too stressed and busy to find out what the cause is. But then the pill ends up making them more anxious and depressed, so they end up going on antidepressants, and then all of a sudden they're in their 20s and they want to have babies, and all this medication they're on's messed up with their cycles.
Yeah, that's... We could actually talk a lot longer.
I know. I'm going on a tangent again. Like, I just think
it's all such important information, Sam.
Yeah.
It's so vital that if you can deal with it, you know, and I've been very fortunate, and I don't want to call it flatline. I just you know, I'm happy. I'm not happy, but I'm not
yeah.
like that.
Not extremes.
No,
I'm
no,
like this.
no extremes. And the thing with that is then when something goes wrong, I suppose you can identify it. Like, oh, wow, what put that on? Or I go and look for something that as a trigger or
yeah,
you know, what it was. So you can sort of identify it a little bit easier. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I often say to people, watch out for the strong ones, because the strong ones are often the ones that fall really hard. Like
yeah.
they put on this facade, which was what I used to be. I didn't
yeah.
want people to know that I was struggling. So I would always be like this. And and then one day it was like, and I was down and out. I was in the hospital. My liver was failing. I was just down and out, and I didn't want to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
And when it hits hard, it hits hard. And
yeah.
It's scary.
It's, I've got a friend that does that, and it does. And I.
Yeah. They don't want to admit. They want to keep showing that they're strong and that they've got you. But you need to tell them that you've got them as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most definitely. We usually finish with three takeaway points, Sammy. What
sure.
do you suggest? So people, out of everything that we've discussed, these are the things that they're going to remember.
Yeah. Okay. So the number one would definitely be the importance of your breath. And for your, not just for your digestive system, but for your overall health. So scheduling that in is really important. I know it sounds ridiculous that we have to schedule in to breathe these days, isn't it? Number two would be to remember that we're all unique. One person's diet is another person's poison. So following trends is probably not a good idea. Coming back to listening to your body and knowing who you are. And number three, I would say be kind to yourself. So many women are just horrible to themselves. It makes me want to cry. Shame and guilt actually are really strong emotions that cause your body to go into flight and fight. And so it's actually having a very negative effect on your body. So talk to yourself like you would your best friend.
Mm.
Yeah. Your body is your best friend.
Well, we've got to be with it for a long time. And I, you know, as I said, I'm in my sixth decade. So it's, you want to be fit and healthy and well. You want to be able to go.
Exactly.
I walk a lot. I have walked a lot. We were discussing this on the weekend with the grandchildren, and my app that I've got at the moment tells me how far I've walked, but it gives me a destination. So the other day, this year I hit Los Angeles.
Really cool.
It is cool.
Walking on water.
I know. That's what didn't get wet at all. But he said, how far do you think you walked? Do you think you walked to the moon and back? Or do you think you...
Oh, that's sun? So
I go,
cool.
Moon's possible. Sun, no. But the moon is possible.
Yeah. And that's it. You got to be kind to yourself. And I think do what you love. Don't answer to other people. If you don't want to go to the gym because you hate it, then just walk out in nature. As long as you're moving your body. And if you hate kale, I don't like kale, don't make a kale salad. Make something that you actually enjoy.
Oh, I'm with you on all of that. Sammy, how do people get in touch with you?
I'm active on my Instagram, Nutrition with Sammy. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook, or you can email me at hello@nutritionwithsammy.com.au. Oh, and I have a website as well, Nutrition with Sammy. And I do workshops for adults, kids, and I'm actually creating an online program at the moment, so that will be released soon.
Excellent. Oh, wow. So there's lots of ways. It doesn't matter where you're based and where other people are based. You can still.
Yeah, I do keynote speaking as well. So I travel all over Australia for that. So I'm happy to get my message out there and have some fun. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. It's such an important message. It is too. Thank you so much for your insights and your time and just a fun conversation.
Yeah, good fun.
Yeah. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you very much for joining us once again. And I hope that what you've learned from Sammy, you'll be able to apply in your daily life. Remember to book your free strategy call at JaneneBosper.com. And if I can't help you, guess what? I have a lot of contacts who I can recommend that just might be able to assist you with having that success that you want in your business, the life that you want to live, and the way you want to live it. Have a fabulous day, week, month, wherever we are next time you join us. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.